this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, of course, the views of our callers. And first hour this evening, we're going to have Open Line Wednesday. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, why, we'll be glad to get into that. But I thought I'd start out talking this evening about the idea of social experiments. You know, in 1958 to 1962, while the Chinese Communist government starved to death intentionally in their effort to collectivize the farms, between 41 and 43 million people. Now, we never mention that here in the United States, but for those of you who would like to investigate that, there's certain, I remember we have one book called The Hungry Ghost. We don't carry it. It's went out of print. Somebody, I suspect, bought up most of the copies. But you can actually find reference to it on the Internet if you Google in The Great Hunger or The Hungry Ghost. And they usually use the figure 30 million people, but the figure is actually 41 to 43, according to the Chinese government. And this is covered in a book called A Mother's Ordeal. Written by Stephen Mosher, who speaks Chinese and actually knew the government officials, who had actually determined that it was between 41 and 43 million people. And, of course, that was 62 in August of 1973. David Rockefeller, who longtime chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations and vice president of the Council on Foreign Relations, and today the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations and certainly the founder of the Trilateral Commission and the member of the Bilderbergers, one of the elite who really rules the world. David Rockefeller returned from a trip to communist China, and in August of 1973 he wrote an article that was published in the New York Times in which he said the social experiment in communist China under the leadership of Chairman Mao is among the most significant and important in history. The social experiment in China under the leadership of Chairman Mao is one of the most important and significant in history. Now, he did acknowledge in the article that there had been a death. Yes, a few people had died. He didn't mention there was close to 80 million people, but it was a social experiment, and it was a very successful social experiment, and people really don't understand how these social experiments work. Today in Russia, the average man dies between 58 and 59 years of age. And, of course, because of the fact that they're not having children, the Russians aren't, where they lose about a million people a year. A million people a year more die than, of course, are born in Russia, and the population's dying off. And nobody knows why this is going on. If they do know, they're not going to tell why. The average male in Russia today is dying at 58 or 59. Oh, they drink too much. It's a vodka. There's the explanation. They always have explanations, but they're never the true explanations. And I think it's another example of the social experiments they carry out in Russia and throughout the world. I was reading just the other day an article on the front page of the New York Times. It was about some of the countries in Africa where they're trying to introduce iodized salt and put iodine in the salt there because they feel that they're going to be able to increase the intelligence of the African people by giving them adequate iodine so that the thyroid will function right. You see, most Africans are hypothyroid, and when you're hypothyroid, why, you don't think so well. Your intelligence is down, and they said how wonderful it's going to be. Now, if we can actually increase the intelligence of the people simply by giving them iodized salt, and so they're spending tens of millions of dollars to actually put iodine in the salt that's used throughout Africa. Now, you have to understand that, of course, this was done many years ago here in the United States. In fact, it was certainly 40 or 50 years ago, when it was noted that the people living in the area of the Great Lakes and the Great Lake Basin of the eastern part of the United States, so many of the people there had goiters. And it was determined, of course, the reason they had goiters is because they weren't getting enough iodine. They weren't eating a lot of fish. They didn't have access to kelp or other things. And so one of the great public health triumphs here in the United States was iodized salt and adding iodine to our wheat flour, adding iodine to the milk, and so we had really sufficient iodine for the American people, and most people ate iodized salt, and this is how we got our iodine. Now, if you eat a lot of fish, well, you're going to get iodine that way. Most of our soil is that really doesn't have a very high iodine content in it, and iodine really is essential for health. Now, the significant thing about the iodine situation is that most people do not understand why the incidence of breast carcinoma is rising so dramatically, why the incidence of prostatic cancer, one in every three males will get a prostatic cancer and they will die from it. Certainly it used to be, 30 years ago, one in 20 women got breast carcinoma. Today, why a 1 in 7 women gets breast carcinoma? Why do we have suddenly the high incidence? Why do we have such a high incidence of breast carcinoma in the United States? Why is it increasing so dramatically? And there are many reasons that are given for that, but very, very few people mention the significance of iodine in health. It actually an awful lot of women many, many years ago, of course. Yeah, I think maybe one woman in 10 would have fibrocystic breast disease today, while the incidence is 80 to 90%. And certainly my producer is telling me that 1 in 3 men do not die from prostatic cancer. No, they don't die from it, but an awful lot of some of them do die of prostatic cancer. You know, certainly, fortunately, most people do not die of prostatic carcinoma. Under any circumstances, what's so, really so interesting is that in Japan, why they do not have such a high incidence of prostatic cancer, and literally almost no one dies of metastatic prostatic disease. And the question is, what's the difference between that? In fact, in Japan, they have a much lower incidence of breast carcinoma than we have here in the United States. And the question arises is, why do they have a much lower incidence of breast carcinoma in Japan than they have here in the United States? And why is it that men in Japan who have prostatic carcinoma will almost never die of metastatic disease? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and please, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have something you'd like to talk about. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But certainly I'm starting to talk a little bit about the incidence of iodine in our health. I'm talking about social experiments and how they've launched a social experiment in Africa to add iodine to all of the salt there. What the average American does not understand is that they've started taking the salt out of the diet, out of our salt. In other words, we've had iodized salt. Most people think all of our salt is iodized. It's not. In fact, probably 45% of our people are not eating iodized salt today because unless you look very, very carefully at the label of your salt, you're not going to know whether there's salt in it or not. They've taken the iodine out of the salt. They've taken the iodine out of our bread. They've taken the iodine out of our milk, which they had added before. And the vast majority of the American people are iodine deficient. Now, of course, this does have an effect on the thyroid, but it has an effect, which, of course, has an effect on your mind, on your ability to think, on the level of your cholesterol, certainly on the level of heart disease. If you have read some of the studies, we have a much higher incidence of heart disease here in the United States than comparable people would have in Great Britain. And this is a study that was done, and I think we probably had almost twice the incidence of heart disease for a comparable group of people drinking about the same amount and smoking about the same amount, but we have a much higher level of heart disease in the United States than they have in Great Britain. Now, this was actually found many years ago in Finland, where they found out that there was a much higher incidence of heart disease and death from heart disease in the one section of Finland than in the other section of Finland, and nobody could figure this out. And so they ran a study. What was the difference between the eastern half of Finland and the western half of Finland? Before the 1960s, there was a considerable difference in cardiovascular disease rates between the two sides, and a careful study was done to determine why. Out of all the factors examined, including fat and cholesterol intake, only the incidence of difference in iodine uptake between eastern and western Finland was the difference, and they found that the death rate from heart attacks was 3.53 times more likely to the people who had a goiter, who had low iodine, and the incidence of goiters was much higher in one area than the other. And when they began to certainly give adequate iodine, why the incidence of goiter went down and the incidence of heart disease went down. What people do not understand is that they have intentionally taken the iodine out of our diet, and most people are deficient. And, of course, there have been animal studies that have been done, and those animal studies have shown that in animals, if you gave them specific things, it would tend to promote a cancer of the breast, and there's certain chemicals that can do that. And in the animals, of course, that had cancer of the breast, pardon me, the animals that were given this substance that produced cancer of the breast, large numbers would get the cancer. But if you gave them iodine, they didn't get cancer of the breast. And what people don't understand is that most of the iodine in our bodies is not in our thyroid. In fact, very little of the iodine in our bodies is in our thyroid. It goes into all sorts of tissues. It goes into the skin. It goes into the breast tissue. It goes into the ovaries. It goes into the uterus. And, Chris, when you begin getting deficient in this, why you increase the incidence of breast carcinoma, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer. And the average doctor has never heard these things because these things are not discussed. After all, how could you justify taking the iodine out of iodized salt? How could you justify taking the iodine out of our bread and taking it out of our milk? Is this a social experiment? What they've done is they've actually added bromide to our wheat, and of course, by putting bromide into the wheat, into the bread, why we then put bromide into the body. Bromide, of course, is a poisonous substance, just like fluoride is, and it competes in the body for the tissues in the thyroid, and so these people get thyroid disease and, of course, toxic thyroid reactions, and most people don't understand that there's somebody out there who knows exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the average doctor to know, and they certainly don't want the average individual to know that you're being experimented on. They do this sort of thing all the time. And you get into the background, of course, what's happening. You take women with fibrocystic disease, and of course, when they have their periods, why their breasts get very, very extremely tender. And if you give them adequate doses of iodine, they just don't have this problem. And this has been demonstrated on a number of occasions. Most doctors think that iodine is only used by the thyroid. But, of course, this is not really true. Animal studies have shown that iodine can prevent breast cancer in animals. Japanese women have the lowest incidence of breast cancer in the world, and American women have the highest. On the average, Japanese women consume 50 times more iodine a day than American women do, usually in the form of kelp or red algae or the other things that they have. They just love seaweed. They eat that all the time. And they also have the lowest fat intake, the highest intakes of flavonoids, and as a result, they have a very low incidence of breast carcinoma. Well, our telephone number out there, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is open lines. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you can go down, of course, this whole idea. Animal studies have confirmed that animals that are fed up high level of cholesterol diet routinely developed atherosclerosis. And in one of the best such studies, it was shown that if iodine was included in the high cholesterol diet, atherosclerosis was dramatically decreased. In fact, they add iodine to the feed they give to the animals because they don't want them to develop some of these iodine deficiency diseases, but they're taking it out of our diet. I wonder why they're doing that. A number of studies have shown that people with hypothyroidism have higher cholesterol levels, including LDL cholesterol. In one of the most important studies, it was shown that adolescents with a high cholesterol and normal thyroid hormone levels saw a fall in their cholesterol and LDL cholesterol to normal when they were placed on iodine. But, you see, the average doctor doesn't prescribe iodine because they think, they honestly remember that our salt is iodized. Well, next time you go to the store, you start looking around for iodized salt. And I know my wife was looking for it recently, and she was surprised. She had to look through a fair number of the different types of salt before she could find the salt that had iodine in it. And unless somebody is telling you what they're doing, you will have no idea at all. But, of course, the people who are studying this will tell you that 70 to 80% of the people in the United States are iodine deficient. And actually, you can determine this by giving them iodine loading and seeing how much they excrete in the urine. And of course, if they certainly you give them 50 milligrams of iodine and they excrete 40 milligrams, they've got plenty of iodine. But if you give them 50 milligrams and they only excrete 10 milligrams, well, you know they're iodine deficient. You've got to keep your levels up because it has to do with good health. And the fact that most doctors and certainly most patients have never heard this simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So we're spending tens of millions of dollars to put salt in the diet of the Africans so we can increase their intelligence, and they're taking out the iodine from the salt given here in the United States, and then we're telling people, oh, you shouldn't be eating salt. It's going to have get your blood pressure up. And the doctors are taught to tell patients to limit their salt intake. It takes away the pressure on their heart. You know, if you have too much salt in your diet, you have too much fluid. And fluid retention, no, don't be eating the salt. And yet for most people, that is the only source of iodine now because it's not in the rest of the other things that they're eating. And certainly they've replaced the iodine that used to be in your bread with bromide, which is a deadly toxin. The question is, why would they do something like that? Unless, of course, as you are aware, I have talked many times about the plan to kill off 90% of our population. In fact, I checked out today a story about a professor at the University of Texas who had given a talk about how we've really had to eliminate 90% of the population. He'd actually talked about how the best thing would be an airborne form of Ebola virus. And he got a standing ovation from the audience when Sam Keane made the same remarks in 1994 and 1995 before the Gorbachev State of the World Forum. He got a standing ovation. I've talked about the Georgia Guidestones there in Elberton, Georgia, where you can go and you can see the Guidestones that talk about maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature, and with a population of over 6 billion people, they're talking about killing off over 90% of the world population. There really are people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. And you better start thinking about what's going on and start learning about what you've got to do to protect your own health. And iodine is a very, very important thing. And 80% of our population is deficient in thyroid production, which influences your thyroid. How many people do you know are taking synthetic thyroid? The doctor puts them on it because the tests show they're low in thyroid. Never mentioning that if they were taking a normal amount of iodine, they wouldn't have a problem. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're going to do a series of programs on iodine and how much you need it with people who are really much more expert at this subject than I am. It is the most fascinating subject. You know, I'm always learning something as I do these programs from people who've done the studies, and the scientific studies are out there. But of course, you're never going to hear about them. And your doctor isn't going to hear about them. And I urge you to get the information, and we'll be having Dr. Blaylock on. We have a great program a week from Friday, and you'll want to be listening as we go into the background of why they're taking the iodine away from us and giving it to the people in Africa. Well, we've got Jeff calling from Wyoming. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Are you a first-time caller?
Nope. I've called you before. You don't remember me?
Oh, no, I really don't. Well, I didn't remember Jeff from Wyoming.
Yeah. Well, I travel around a lot.
Okay. Well, I remember Jeff, but I didn't remember Jeff from Wyoming. Go ahead.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. Hey, this iodine, so this is just another form, in your opinion, of population control.
Well, certainly, I believe it plays a part in many of the diseases. I think the heart attacks we're seeing. What they've done is, of course, they're putting fluoride in our water, and that competes for the position in the thyroid that iodine would ordinarily take. So we put fluoride in the water, we take iodine out of the diet, and little wonder we have so much incidence of hypothyroidism. And if you go into the background of what happened initially with the original studies with fluoridated water, in the city where they fluoridated the water, they doubled the incidence of heart disease. But they don't tell the American people that.
Right. I think it's pretty obvious if you look at, fluoride is a particularly good example. But now, that being said, if you were to play devil's advocate, I mean, suppose, just hypothetically, things went the way we want them to go. All this, the fluoride was taken out of the water, the population control, everything that they're doing for population control, we found out about it, people got informed, and they stopped doing it. Is there not something to be said, though, for the idea that... the population is exploding beyond the world's resources as it is, isn't it?
No. Nope.
What would happen if things were good?
I think that you've been reading too much of the propaganda. I mean, the thing is, have you ever flown across the United States? I mean, vast expanses of area where there's nobody living or hardly anybody living. I mean, we could take almost everybody in the world and put them in the state of Texas. But believe me, God is not going to allow that to get too many people here. Between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And they're trying to convince you we're running out of natural resources, we're running out of water. I mean, boy, talk about that. I mean, you got to be naive to believe we're running out of water, we're polluting all the air, certainly they're not going to be any more of the natural resources. In fact, you know, they keep telling you that. Well, believe me, if there's a need for it, man will find it. They'll find other things to substitute for the things that are in short supply. So I believe that they have a propaganda campaign to convince us we've just got to limit the population of the world. So what have they done here? They've convinced our young people they shouldn't have children. We've killed almost 50 million children, unborn children here in America. And then when they open up our borders and bring in 20 to 30 million, you know, illegal aliens from other countries and encourage them to come into the country. What's wrong with this scenario?
Okay.
If you look and see what's going on in Europe, it takes 2.1 children per family to reproduce population. Mm-hmm. You're looking at France, 1.4 children. You're looking at in Germany, about 1.4 children. In France, they're paying families to have children. In Italy, it's 1.2 children per family. Europe is destroying itself. It's being their population is being replaced by the Muslims. Certainly, Russia is dying off. They're losing 1 million people every year. No, I think that they have a great propaganda campaign, and they've convinced a lot of good people. Wouldn't it be a lot better if we just didn't have so many people in the world? Well, I think God's got a plan.
So all of that is a propaganda, part of a propaganda program.
Absolutely. In fact, the thing is that the Muslims, of course, are having 5 and 6 kids.
So why do they? If that is the case, now I mean I tend to think that you're right, and I've heard that statistic. You know, I've been on with Medved. Medved's had a whole deal where, you know, he said that you could put everybody in the state of Texas, and you might have some sewage problems and what have you, but you could get everybody there and feed them there. And, you know, I'm aware of that. And I tend to think that you're right on that completely. But if that's the case, then why allow the illegal immigrant population to just breed us out of, literally, out of house and home?
Well, because, of course, as far as the United States is concerned, there is a plan. And that is, of course, they want, of course, to do away with our borders. They want to merge us with Mexico and Canada. They want to lower the living standards of the American people. And for our listeners, we have Jeff calling, incidentally, from Wyoming. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and this is Open Line Wednesday. But, Jeff, there is a plan to lower the living standards of the American people, to impoverish us. Have you ever read the Earth Charter?
No, I have not read it, but I have a good idea what's contained in it.
Well, let me suggest if you have access to the internet, you can pull it down. If not,
I do.
Okay, go up and read it. And point 10A says that what they want is equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. How do you create equitable distribution of wealth between nations? Why, you transfer your manufacturing and your jobs to other countries. You take it from the rich countries and send them to the poor countries. This is exactly what we're doing. Here in the United States, they want equitable distribution within this country, so they're going to destroy the middle class. They're in the process of doing it. Why are they doing it? Because they hate humanity. These people are filled with hate. They have a different worldview, and until you recognize that really our people are doing these things, none of it makes sense. But if you understand what they really want is to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, to merge the United States with Mexico, and our president has an obligation to uphold our Constitution. He doesn't believe in the Constitution. I've met George Bush. I don't know if you ever heard me tell about the story when I was sitting there in the room with him, and one of my friends asked him if he was the president of the United States. Now, at this time, he was the governor of Texas. But the question was, if you were the president of the United States and Congress passed a bill that was unconstitutional, would you sign it? And George Bush, the governor of the state of Texas at the time and soon to become president of the United States, sat there and sat there and sat there. And then he finally said, I don't understand the question. So my friend rephrased the question. And he finally said, I don't know. I'm going to have to go home and think about that. He came up to us afterwards. We were standing in the room there in a very plush hotel in Washington, D.C. He came up to my friend and I and said, you know, that was such a good question. I'm really going to have to think about that. This man's the President of the United States. He doesn't understand the Constitution. He certainly doesn't believe in it. And he absolutely refuses to enforce our immigration laws.
Did you have an opportunity to confront him on that?
Well, it's pretty hard that we were with a group of people. It was not a confrontational meeting. It was an educational meeting. We were going to pick the next president of the United States. And everybody in the room except my friend and I picked George Bush. I did not pick him, and if we'd had a vote, I would have voted against him.
And you know, Dr. Stan, is it possible that they chose a part of the propaganda? I mean, isn't Al Gore pretty much, they probably told him, here's your place. You're going to go ahead and work on the convincing of people that there is a shortage of pretty much darn near everything.
Well, he was actually at that meeting that was held in 1992 on the Good Ship Britannia, Prince Charles's yacht, where they laid out the program that became the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It really it became this whole idea of sustainable development. It was actually developed by a group of very wealthy and powerful people in 1992 prior to the Second Earth Summit that was held in Rio de Janeiro that year. And Al Gore was there, and of course all the corporate heads and financial heads, and they and Prince Charles hammered out this whole concept, which came to be known as sustainable development. And of course, it was the blueprint for the Kyoto Protocol, the Desertification Treaty, and the Biodiversity Treaty. Fortunately, we did not. The Senate refused to endorse the Biodiversity Treaty, but the President Clinton and certainly President Bush have been implementing it. Doesn't matter that the Senate rejected it. They don't believe in the Constitution. They certainly don't do what, you know, they don't abide by our laws. The Senate did pass the Desertification Treaty. Now, if one of the senators, I believe, had ever read it, we're implementing the Kyoto Protocol. Let's hope, of course, it is not ever implemented, because if it is, it will destroy the infrastructure of this country. That's what it's designed for. It does not affect China, the largest polluter in the world. It's aimed at destroying America.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Great answers. You're working hard there.
God bless. Thanks so very much. And my telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and this is Open Line Wednesday, and we look forward to your calls. And if you have any questions, or you can pick any subjects you want to, that's the nice thing about an open line program. We started out talking about the situation as far as iodine, and it is they're taking the iodine out of our diet and replacing it with bromide, which is a poisonous material. It's used as an insecticide, fungicide. So why are they putting it into our bread, where it will produce nothing but harm, and it gets into our body, and of course it begins then to compete for it's a halogen, and it's like fluoride or iodine or bromide, and but what it does then, it competes for the position in the thyroid gland, and this is one reason we have so much thyroid problem. And how many Americans are on thyroid today? Why? Because of course the doctor says, well, gee, you look a little you're cold all the time, and your hands are cold, you don't feel very good, you feel tired all the time, you're putting on weight, you got a high blood cholesterol, you must be hypothyroid. We've run a thyroid test on you, and sure enough, your thyroid hormone level is down, your TSH level is up, and so they're going to put you on thyroid, of course, and so you'll be on thyroid all the rest of your life. Whereas in many instances, if they just gave you a trial of iodine, why, of course, you would not need the thyroid. But doctors are not taught to do that. They're not taught to think this way. They do not recognize the fact that probably 70 to 80% of the American people already are deficient in iodine. And the only way you can absolutely be certain, of course, is either give a trial or do an iodine loading test, a very, very simple thing to do, but when you do that and you find out that they're iodine deficient, then certainly you can get them onto into either Lugol solution or there are certain capsules that have both the Lugol solution and another form of iodine in them, and they work really very, very efficiently. And there's a growing awareness across America, thanks to a couple of people. One of my good friends, Dr. Blaylock, has written about this, and he'll be on with us next week talking about it. And we've got Chris calling in from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
Doing just fine.
Well, this is a good topic about the iodine, and there's a question in my thought on this. When you go to the store, like the corporate, we have like Kroger and all these big, massive stores. What do we have to look out for? What has iodine in it when they say it has it in there, and it may not or may not be in there? What do we have to look for?
Well, I will be back in just a moment to answer your question. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and this is Open Line Wednesday. And Chris is calling in from Kentucky, and he said, what should we be looking for? Well, what you should be looking for is the salt, and you should have iodized salt. And, of course, then they want to tell you, the doctors will tell you, oh, you shouldn't be eating a lot of salt anyway. It's just going to create hypertension, high blood pressure, overburden your heart. Salt's bad for you. Well, that's the only source you have of your iodine. Now, if you look on the label there, it'll tell you whether it's got salt added. And if one time all of our salt, or literally all of our salt, had iodine added, and little by little, they've taken it out. So my wife was in the store the other day, was specifically looking for the iodized salt, and she remarked how difficult it was to find a brand of salt that actually had the iodine in it. But you want to get iodized salt. Unfortunately, they've taken it out of our milk. They've taken it out of our they've taken it out of our bread. And the only way you certainly don't want to be eating the bread with a bromide in it. I mean, this is certain something they should never be putting in that, but they shouldn't be putting fluoride in our water, but they're doing it. And apparently there's a real problem getting rid of fluoride, and it's very difficult because it's such a poisonous substance to get rid of, so they decided to put it in our wheat. just as they have these this terribly toxic substance that got out of the scrubbers in the fertilizer plants. It was so toxic that they could not put it in the ground. They could not put it in the river. They couldn't even take it out and dump it in the ocean. It was so toxic. So they put it in our drinking water, and that's what they use for the water fluoridation. They do not use sodium fluoride. They use hydrofluosilicic acid, and if you are in an area where you have that, then for some reason or other, it significantly increases the level of lead in your blood. There's no safe level of lead. It seems to attract the lead, and of course, for as far as the blacks are concerned, it increases the blood level of lead 6 times. It only doubles it in whites, 4 times in Hispanics. They've done a test on this for, I think, on 450,000 children. There's no question this is what's going on, but they don't want you to realize that they're poisoning the blacks in America. But, Chris, in answer to your question, you just have to look on the label. Well, the other thing is, of course, that you can find out what your iodine level is by doing an iodine loading test.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And I do have the Berkey water filtration system.
How do you like it?
It's fantastic. I have the sport bottle, and I'd like to get the bigger Berkeys too. And I encourage everybody out there to get it.
All right, fine. Now, do you have fluoridated water?
I'm in the near the Louisville area where I live, and the water's just absolutely. I don't trust it. It doesn't taste right. It tastes like it has all these contaminants in it, and that's why I got the Berkey water system. And I started using that, and it's a big difference in my body, how I feel every day.
I'm so glad for that. Well, we wouldn't be carrying it if we didn't really feel it was a good product. Anyway, God bless, and thanks so very much for calling. Thanks for the plug for the Berkey water. If anybody's out there interested in knowing more about it, you can always give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You can always call us at 800-544-8927. If you're out there in the audience and you have something you'd like to talk about, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you want information on the Berkey, 1-800-544-8927. And we have so many telephone numbers because we do so many different programs on different networks where we get a little lost there sometimes. Well, in the early days of medicine, iodine was used successfully to treat high blood pressure. That's hypertension. It was known that iodine acts as a vasodilator, that it relaxes the blood vessels and lowers the blood pressure. It's obvious a great number of people are deficient in iodine, and that from the published studies and clinical experience over the past 150 years, a high iodine intake may reduce our risk of heart disease and of stroke. And yet, of course, this is not being taught today, and what people don't understand is that in the past, why, you could always just go to the store and you saw that, the package, and it said there's iodine in the salt. And so you took it for granted that it was there, you did nothing to worry about, but you better look at the package. Because, of course, in the past they put it in, and somebody has given instructions to take it out. Now, basically, the question is, how many of our people really are hypothyroid today? They may not have goiters, but they may very well be hypothyroid just because they aren't getting sufficient iodine intake. There is a great deal of evidence that iodine reduces inflammation, and certainly Dr. Blaylock tells about one woman who came to him, and she just had aches all over. She had cold hands, and she just was just miserable. And he put her on iodine, and within a week, she was really doing great. There's a Dr. Miller, Don Miller, who's a cardiovascular surgeon, a professor at the University of Washington. And he's written extensively about the use of iodine. Now, why would a professor of cardiovascular surgery be interested in iodine? Because it decreases heart disease. And he's sort of putting himself out of business, but he's written about this. He's written papers. He's talked about this. But the average individual, the average doctor, has never heard these things. And if it isn't written up in a publication that he reads regularly, it isn't talked about, why he's not going to change his pattern. And so we hope that when we put together this 4-tape set on iodine, that many of you will want to get it and get, of course, the supporting documents and the supporting information. But you can go up on the Internet and And actually, just type in information on iodine, Google that in, and you'll get all sorts of fascinating articles on iodine, and of course what you should know about iodine, how to determine whether you're getting adequate doses of iodine. And in large series and large studies, they found about 80%, 70 to 80% of our population is deficient in iodine. And as we're trying to do everything we can to get the people of Africa to actually get adequate doses of iodine to decrease to increase their intelligence levels. And they say, quite openly, we can increase the intelligence of the people by giving them iodine. They're taking iodine out of our diet. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, kids aren't as smart today as they used to be. Oh, we got a failed educational system. We're not teaching them right. And, of course, I'm sure that that plays a part in it. But it is my firm conviction that the fluoride level that we are giving our people in the water, going along with the iodine deficiency, the fluoride then will replace the iodine in the thyroid gland. This is having a profound impact on the intelligence of our people. And, of course, we've talked in the past about the studies that have been done in China. You're never going to hear about. But the studies in China show that in areas where they have water fluoridation, and they're incapable, they haven't been able to get the fluoride out of the drinking water, the IQ of the people go down. And there are no geniuses. There are a lot of people with borderline low IQs. And really, we have a great DVD. It's put together by a good friend, Dr. Kennedy, who actually went over to China. He had an opportunity then to travel around, to go to communities where they had fluoride in the water, and they got the fluoride out of the water and going into the schools and taking pictures of the children's teeth. But these were happy children. You know, they're little Chinese children, but children are children throughout the world. And then he goes into the schools where they have the fluoride in the water. All the difference between night and day between those two groups of children. And if you would, that DVD is available through our ministry at the Radio Liberty here. And you just simply call and ask for Dr. David Kennedy's DVD, Let the Truth, I think it's called Let the Truth Be Told. He sent us a whole flock of news. Just ask for Dr. David Kennedy's a DVD on fluoride and a dramatic difference between the children in fluoridated and non-fluoridated areas just in their response. But the studies have showed you drop about, on average, 10% of the IQ in areas where you have fluoridated water. And, of course, then I'm sure you compound that by adding the iodine deficiency to the diet. So, and if you'd like, of course, to verify what I'm saying, you can go up on the Internet at NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org, www.NTEU280.org. And that is the National Treasury Employees Union. And that is actually the union of the engineers, of the lawyers, and of the scientists who work for the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, they know that they're poisoning the American people. And they have there the letters that they've written to the United States Senate, the letters that they've written to the bureaucrats, the EPA, who are part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, pleading with them to immediately stop all water fluoridation in America, and giving you the scientific studies. And they have an article by Dr. Hersey, his testimony before the United States Senate, which you've never been allowed to hear. It's all there up there on NTEU280.org. Go there, check it out. Could it really be true that they're poisoning the American people as part of a great experiment, that they actually are poisoning our fertility level? And by poisoning our fertility, they know that in areas where you actually fluoridate the water, the fertility is lower. There's a much higher incidence of Down's disease, and especially you'll see it in very young women. You ordinarily would not see it in young women. They would not. Young women ordinarily do not have Down's children, only older women, but of course, certainly if you fluoridate the water, you increase the Down's disease. You have a lot of course, lower the level of testosterone. You know, the level of testosterone in men has fallen almost 50% over the last 30 years. Oh, shucks, we have no idea where that's happening. Well, I'll tell you why it's happening. It's because they fluoridate the water. The sperm count goes down. The sperm mobility goes down. The sperm, of course, many times don't function quite right. And you get one of those utilized to fertilize the female egg, and it may very well lead to the Down's disease. They know exactly what they're doing. But I don't expect you to believe a word I say. Go to the website. It's fluoridealert.org. Now, don't go to fluoridealert.com or .net, because they've surrounded fluoridealert.org with websites from the American Dental Association, because they don't want the people of this country to know that they've been poisoning our children and destroying the lives of our young people and the fertility of our adults and lowering the intelligence of the American people. In fact, if you read what the AD has put out, they will admit it doesn't do any good to ingest fluoridated water. Fluoride only acts locally, so why are we putting it in the water? Why, for the effect that we're having to lower the intelligence, to damage the thyroid, to lower the fertility, to increase heart disease and death. And the fact that you've never heard what we're talking about simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. This is Open Line Wednesday, and we've got Mark calling from Brewster, Washington. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Just fine, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, are you listening over the American Christian Network up there?
Yes, I am, on the Internet.
Okay. That's great. I'm glad. Okay, I didn't know whether Brewster was adjacent to where we have our outlets there in the eastern part of Washington. But anyway, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, you'll be talking about Spokane and the American Christian Network.
Right.
Yes, sir. I had a question for you, Doctor. I had to go in for a CAT scan or an MRI a couple of years ago, and I don't know which one it was, but I had to use a contrast. And I had to get it for checking out. I forgot what it was. It was an internal problem in my skull. And I found out that I was allergic to the contrast, which I think was iodine-based.
Yes, that's a very rare. There are some people who are sensitive to iodine.
That's the same iodine that's used in the salt, I guess.
Right, of course. Certainly there are people who are sensitive to iodine. There's not an awful lot of them, but there are people, and they just can't take it. And so you'd have to get your iodine through seaweed, things like that, fish.
I'm also having to deal with blood pressure problems now. I'm 63. And
how high is your blood pressure?
It's been averaging 160 over 110, and I have to treat it with medicine.
Right.
And also exercise, which... I haven't really been too diligent on.
Well, you ought to be exercising. You ought to be taking large doses of vitamin C. You ought to be certainly be taking, the fish oil, things of that sort. But what you really want to do, if you get vitamin C in, of course, it'll help you with the elasticity of your arteries, and certainly the fish oil tends to, seems to have a very, very protective situation as far as the heart. If you could take the iodine, I would think about it, but if you're allergic to it, I wouldn't even consider it.
Is potassium iodide the same thing also?
Well, there are basically two forms. One is the ionized, and one's they call it ionized. It had nothing to do with iodine, but ionized iodine. That would be in the Lugol solution, which is a solution of iodine, and you take a drop or two of that. And then there's the compound, which is potassium iodide. So basically, they suggest you take both of them.
Well, I think
there's a compound called iodorol, which, of course, has both of them in it.
Iodol?
Iodorol.
Iodorol. Is that a substitute, Doctor?
Basically, it's just a compound that's up there. Let me just get the exact pronunciation of that if I can find it here. It's called... I can't quite find it here. Anyway, we're just beginning to look into this, but this is a compound up there. It's I-O-D-E-R-A-L, Iodorol. Iodorol.
Okay, Doctor, that's all I had for tonight. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Paul, who's calling us from Niagara Falls. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing good. Good to hear from you.
Hey, it's spelled Iodoral. I-O-D-O-R-A-L.
All right, fine.
And that can be found at WilmerChemist.com.
All right, fine. Some people call it with an E, I-O-D-E-R-A-L, but perhaps you...
I'm looking at the bottle right now,
O-L.
Doc.
Right, go ahead.
I'm looking at the bottle right now.
All right,
I-O-D-O-R-A-L.
Fine. All right.
Well, it was put together by somebody who, you had Dr. George Fleshes.
Yes, we're going to have him on a week from Friday night. He'll be with us for 2 hours.
About a year and a half ago.
Right.
Excellent. I've given that copy to numerous people. And he pointed me in the direction of the Iodoral. Someone he's involved with makes this.
All right, fine. Well, I think it sounds like a... I think it's something that we all want to make sure we're getting adequate doses of iodine salt, and we may even need more than that. But the important thing is you've got to look at the salt, and you may think it's got iodine in it, but they've taken it out. They've taken it out of the milk. They've taken it out of the bread, and they've taken it out of at least half of the salt that's out there. So people think they're getting it. They're not.
In that interview, he says it evaporates from your salt shaker, too.
I'm not in a position to comment on that, but we'll ask him next week when we have him on.
He mentioned that on your previous program.
That was a long time ago. Well, anyway, we're
going to
have...
February 05, Doc.
Beg your pardon?
February 05.
God bless. Thanks so very much.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, we've got 3 more minutes before we have to wrap the program up. So our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. I think that this is a very important subject because certainly taking the iodine out of the diet and adding the fluoride to our drinking water, I think, is having very, very serious consequences as far as our society is concerned. Adolf Hitler, during the Second World War, used fluoridation in the water in the occupied areas, the occupied countries that he had actually taken by force. They would not use it in Germany, but they wanted the people to be flaccid and simply to go along with whatever they were told in the occupied areas. And, of course, the same thing happened in Russia. In Russia, why, in the Gulag, they fluoridated the water. They fluoridated the water in East Germany to keep the people in. And, of course, actually, once, of course, the Berlin Wall came down and they stopped the water fluoridation, the dental health actually increased. Well, we've got Theodora calling. Hi, Theodora. We haven't heard from you in a long time.
Well, I listen now and again, and I don't call unless I have something to add.
All right, you have something to add tonight.
Well, I was going to talk about or ask you about sea salt because it's my understanding that there's a world of difference between sea salt or salts that are, come from where there's rich mineral matter versus what they sell as salt in the stores, which is an isolated molecule, sodium chloride.
Well, I don't know. Certainly, I think that sea salt is fine. I would just make sure how much iodine there's actually in it. But it should have iodine in it.
Well, in terms of the iodine too, taking a liquid mineral supplement that has the trace minerals, again where you're coming from at it, where it's mixed in with other minerals. And you're getting the trace minerals, I would think, for someone like this man, maybe he's allergic to that particular form of iodine in that
right,
product.
Right, if it was, obviously, they give him an intravenous dose. What you usually do is you give them an intravenous dose when you're taking a CAT scan or an MRI. And, of course, obviously, he'd gotten quite a reaction to it.
Oh, I see. It was in that context. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to add about sea salt because, really, sea salt is a food. What's in the store sold as salt. Find ways to get your iodine, but it doesn't. It's basically a white sodium chloride. It's as phony a food as white flour is,
okay.
As white sugar is.
Okay,
so,
we're out of time. God bless.
Okay, thanks for the show.
Bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, And if you'd like, of course, to help us, why, you could certainly join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like more information, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the really great information on health and what you should be doing to keep yourself healthy, let me suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And of course, if you know anybody who's going to be undergoing chemotherapy or radiation therapy for cancer, you need to get his book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, because patients who follow his advice, their hair doesn't fall out. They don't get deathly ill and vomiting and diarrhea and all the things that the people get from the toxic substances they're giving them. So then, of course, Dr. Russell Blaylock's third book, Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills, goes into the MSG and, of course, the aspartame NutraSweet that they're putting on a diet that has disastrous effects on our health. So the three books, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and certainly the Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kill, all available from Radio Liberty. We, of course, carry a book called Death by RX by Richard Strand that goes into so many of the things that are being done as far as our health is concerned, that at least people think it's for our health, but it's really making us increasingly ill. We have a four-tape set on statin drugs and a book on statin drugs. We have a book on magnesium and what you really need to know about magnesium. And people will have restless leg syndrome. They'll get night cramps. They'll get cardiac irregularity. They'll have actually drop beats. I know I had drop beats. I was getting rather upset with that. We started on magnesium. And, of course, by quieting the muscles down, the hyper-irritability of the muscle and of the nerve conduction, why the drop beats simply went away. Magnesium is an amazing mineral. Most of us are deficient in magnesium. Let me suggest the book, The Miracle of Magnesium. It will give you a great deal of information that you need to know, that you're going to have to learn about your health yourself. If you are in an area with fluoridated water, do not, let me say it again, do not be drinking that for yourself or your family. And if you'd like more information on the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light units, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. How do we understand what's going on today? Well, you need to see the talk we gave for the Prophecy Club. It's called Planned Population Reduction. They really do intend to kill off the majority of the world's population. People say that's crazy talk. Who would ever think of doing that? And I would simply suggest that you go back to Elberton, Georgia, and see the Georgia Guidestones, or certainly watch our talk on the population control, or our four-tape set on population control. Now, suddenly, there's talking about, gee, we've got to do something about a malaria. You know, it's killing 1 million people a year. Truth is, it's killing 3 million people a year. It's been doing it, you know, going back to 1973 when we banned DDT. Was the safest insecticide we'd ever known. Why did they ban it? Well, they didn't ban it because it was harmful. They banned it because it was saving so many lives. And we've killed about 100 million people in third world countries over the last 33 years since we banned DDT. And they knew exactly what they were doing when they did it. Understand, there are people who look at the world differently. Again, if you want to understand what this is about, go to our website, radioliberty.com. Pull down my treatise on the population control agenda. You can pull it down, copy it, or if you get any of our items, we'll be glad to send you a free copy if you ask for it. Our video on population control, four-tape set on population control, the population control special, the government secret program, National Security Study Memorandum 200, it's finally been declassified. We do have that available. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls. Well, that is assuming we get our guest on. We have with us this evening Melody Cederstrom. And Melody, of course, supports Radio Liberty, and we support Melody. We think she does a good job. She talks on what's happening economically. She talks about gold and silver, and she actually is in the business of providing them for people. And I think this is really a very, very important point, a very important time to call people's attention to what is happening economically in our country. Today, the stock market hit an all-time high. It was well up over 1250 on the Dow Jones. Of course, you have to understand that with the inflation rate that we've had since the year 2000, it would have to be up over 13 to really be a new high. But as far as the perception of the individual is concerned, the Dow is really doing great. And, well, of course, I'm sure that in many respects it is doing great. But the question is, why is it doing so great? Why, you know, if you're looking at the price-earnings ratio of this, of so many of the Standard & Poor's stocks, it averages about 18 to 1. It should be down to a 10 to 1. In fact, it's really a good buy when it's down to 8 to 1. So a lot of this is simply a matter of speculation. But even more than that, I think one of the reasons that the stock market is doing so well is because they have created artificially so much money. There's so much liquidity out there. And where are you going to put your money if you have a lot of money? And they've created this artificially by simply creating artificial credit, the Federal Reserve System, not only our Federal Reserve System, but all of the central banks of the world working in concert have created artificial liquidity. In Japan, you could borrow for maybe 1% or less and take that money and bring it over and invest it into our stock market and make a fortune. You could borrow money at 1%. And then, of course, now they've lowered the margin requirements for the stock market from 50% to about 10%, so you can really get tremendous leverage. And, boy, you can make a fortune. Or you can lose a fortune, too. And that's the trouble. This is exactly what happened back in 1929. Before the bottom dropped out of the stock market, they were doing everything they could to encourage speculation. And this is really what's happening today. Melody Cederstrom, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me.
Well, tell us what your take is on what's going on.
Well, You said a lot in your opening statement. It's you know, there's a lot of liquidity in the markets, and people have the opportunity to make a lot of money and lose a lot of money. And usually only probably less than 5% of the investors out there really make a lot of money. The market's gambling, and if you want to protect what you have, if you want to keep what you have, the safest way to do that is with gold and silver.
Well, I think it's very interesting. Apparently, the CEO, the COs of many of the major corporations are, you know, certainly selling their stocks. It's suggested they're selling 6 shares for every 1 share they're buying. So, obviously, the people who run the major corporations know something we don't. They're cashing in their stock options. I like they're going out of style. And, of course, somebody's buying them. Of course, whatever you sell, somebody's got to buy them. But, of course, this is driving up the price of the stock market. The question is it going to keep going up, or is it going to one of these days to take a terrible tumble, like Humpty Dumpty, you can't put back together again? Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess is Melody. You see this from... Well, Melody is certainly playing games with gold and silver. They certainly knocked them down from the highs that they had a couple of months ago.
Yes, they have. And we came off a high of $720 in May. And we were trying to get to $650 a month or so ago. And today we ended, gold ended at $628. But for the year in itself, if we look back to a year ago, gold has done very well. Gold was still in the $500 range, so gold increased over $100, in the year. So, gold has done very well. Silver has done very well for the year. And 2007, we still see the gold prices should continue to rise, will continue to rise, and it's a great time. People have a tendency to look back to see where gold corrected to, but what people have to look at, what investors have to look at, is where gold will go and the fundamentals underneath it. There are so many weak links in this economy, and I don't think anybody can mention a strong link in this economy. So eventually one of these links will break, and there's so many of them, and all those equal the fundamentals is why gold will continue to rise and why people need to protect their purchasing power and keep their wealth by buying gold and silver.
Well, I think it's very interesting from what we get through the scuttlebutt that China is very, very quietly accumulating gold, that Russia is accumulating gold, and certainly that places like Brazil and India are accumulating gold because they want something to back their currency. They realize that, if you're backing your paper currency with another paper currency without any value, that one day if the house of cards comes down, why, you get into an impossible situation where you can lose everything. The Chinese are holding almost $1 trillion and predominantly in paper. And as the value of the dollar falls, they lose the value of their paper that they're holding. And they have lost almost 30% of the value of the paper they're holding as the dollar has fallen in relationship to other currencies. I don't think the Chinese are going to continue doing that indefinitely. Do you?
No, I don't. I mean, the Chinese, I don't believe there's any one particular country that can control China. I mean, they still have a lot of people that they need to employ. So they can't adjust their currency to any big degree. And we saw that when China...
Hold that thought there, Melody. We're going to have to bring other stations on board here, and we'll do that right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and she's talking about China, what's going on in China. China is certainly in many ways the most exciting nation in the world today. I mean, here's a nation that's come from abject poverty, in the 1970s to certainly one of the great industrial producers of all countries. They are the fourth largest producer in the world today. They have in China about 130 million manufacturing jobs. We have about 14 million manufacturing jobs here in the United States. And we still have far more than any other country in the rest of the world. But you take all of the other major manufacturers in the world and you add up their manufacturing jobs, we can't hold a candle to what China has. In fact, China's lost almost 30 million manufacturing jobs over the last six or eight years. They were up to almost, I think, close to 160 million manufacturing jobs. Now they're down to about 130 million. One of the great miracles of all time, all financed with American money, predominantly, and of course guaranteed by the American tax dollars because if the Chinese were to nationalize their industries and simply seize everything over there, why, we have guaranteed the American corporations have gone over there that we will pay them back not only everything they've invested, but two or even three times what they've invested. At least a congressman told me that. Of course, they immediately got that congressman out of office. The last thing they want is for the American people to realize that everything that's going on in China is financed by our own invisible government. So you pick up the story. You're beginning to say your thoughts on China.
Yes. They need millions of new jobs a year. They have about 800 million poor Chinese people who have yet benefited from their economy over the past several years. And so they need to continue this economic growth. The Chinese threaten to dump the U.S. dollar, and as you mentioned, they have about $1 trillion of them. Then the Mideast oil nations stated that they would be severely harmed by collapsing the U.S. dollar if China would dump it. So they threatened to embargo the oil to China should they dump the U.S. dollar. And so, I mean, things are getting to the point where something will break among the central banks or among the central countries when it comes to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar situation is very serious, and we could see a crisis stage with the U.S. dollar at any time in 07. There's predictions for more of a U.S. dollar fall closer to the end of the second quarter, maybe into the third quarter of next year, because our administration will continue, or Federal Reserve will continue to try to get China to adjust their currency. But China has too much to lose if they do. And with them holding so many trillions of dollars, they have a lot to lose there. So I can assure you that they are protecting their wealth by purchasing gold by their central banks.
And, of course, really, of course, China can always get oil from Iran. Now, Iran has stopped using the dollar as the medium of exchange for their oil, and they're accepting euros. They're simply taking all of their money out of dollars and shifting to euros. Venezuela, which is a very large oil producer, has a very close ties to Iran, is doing exactly the same thing. And if more and more countries begin using a euro or some other means of reserve currency, this is going to have a profound effect on the value of the American dollar. And the average individual has no idea what it would mean if the countries of the rest of the world were to turn away from the United States as the reserve currency of the world. Have you heard any people talking about the danger of that happening, Melody?
Well, I read where Brazil and Argentina, I believe, will no longer use the U.S. dollar to trade amongst themselves. So I think you're going to find countries among within trade with each other using other currencies. I believe I read they were going to use their own currency to trade. So you're going to hear more and more about it because they don't want to be holding. You know, it's almost like the Mexican standoff. They'll continue to trade with the U.S. dollar until it comes to a point where they have too much to lose, or that first country or central bank decides, you know, they're going to get out before they lose it all. So I think we're at a very dangerous time where you're going to see major devaluation. There's discussions of the dollar falling 30% to 50% next year. And most of the economists and what most people hear of the controlled news is that it will be a gradual decline. And that's okay, because it won't be so bad if it's a gradual decline. But I don't think we'll have a gradual decline, and even if it is a gradual decline, you're still going to have a panic in the markets to where people are going to want liquidity and purchase something that will protect them. They will go to safety, and that safety net will be gold.
Well, people are going to have. I had a friend of mine call me the other day, and he said, "Well, what should I be putting my money into? Should I be putting it into property? Should I be investing in property? So, if the dollar does fail, why? Of course, I will have the value of the property." How would you have answered him?
Well, I don't think right now is the time to be buying property. I believe property has still a ways to go in falling prices. I believe there will be a time in which to buy property, but not yet. I believe right now the safest thing to be, because we really don't know how things are going to unfold. We do know that the U.S. dollar will lose its value. So to protect yourself against that, so you are able to hold on to your wealth, so you can make investments as they come along. But right now, I don't believe there's any safe investment out there. Now, if you have multiple dollars and you want to gamble and speculate, well, you should only do that with funds that you're willing to lose, funds that you're willing to risk. Other than that, if you have funds that you don't want to lose, then you need to put it into something to protect it. and that would be gold.
Well, I think when you have a growing economy, when you've got, you know, a basically a fairly stable situation, it's fine to be in a fiat currency. In other words, a currency without any backing to it at all. But history tells us that all fiat currencies eventually lose their value. Gold is the ultimate currency. You may never get rich in gold, but at least you'll be able to maintain the value of what you have. And I think, I told this person about property. I said, this is not the time to buy property because I think property values are going to begin to come down. They're inflated artificially by, of course, this tremendous liquidity that's been created out of absolutely nothing. It's been created out of thin air. There may come a time when, of course, when property values come down, it would be wise to buy property. But this is certainly not the time to do it. The time now is to take a defensive position and maintain the value of what you have. And actually, there may even be an opportunity to make a good profit in it, but you may not make any profit at all. The whole idea is not to lose. That's the first rule of investing. Don't lose money. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, have you heard that a lot of the CEOs of the major corporations are selling stock?
Yes, I have heard that and I have read that. And, you know, they have all the news and all the scoop, too. They have all the inside trading. And so they will do that. And that's why you have all these... You have more and more stock programs on the financial networks. They keep increasing them, adding people, and so they want people to go into the market. So as you mentioned earlier, if you have a seller, you have to have a buyer. And we have a major problem also with the baby boomers retiring in 2008. We have a large a majority of baby boomers begin to retire in 2008. So they will also be liquidating. So as they liquidate, remember, you have to have buyers for their selling. So, again, more pressure. But I believe things will happen prior to that time because they don't want these people liquidating their funds. And so I believe people will lose their funds prior to their liquidating.
There's a fascinating article up on the Internet. It's been there for probably a month or two. It's written by a Professor Kiplikoff, and it's written for the St. Louis branch of the Federal Reserve System. The title is America, the United States Bankrupt? And I would certainly suggest people pull that down, just type in Kiplikoff or a St. Louis Federal Reserve and read what the professor says. And he simply points out that there is no way in the world we can ever meet all the obligations, all the promises we've made to the people who are going to be retiring. And in the year 2008, the baby boomers begin to take their early retirement, and 3 years after that, they're all eligible to retire, or so many of them are eligible to retire. And then, of course, they go on to Medicare. And there has been released just very recently a report that was put out by the commissioner of the Treasury. I forgot the exact name, but his job is, of course, to pull out reports and tell us where we really stand. And Congress has said, look, we don't want one of these budget statements, money in, money out. We want to know where you stand from an actuarially point of view. In other words, you have all these pension, certainly liabilities, for Social Security and Medicare and government pensions and, you know, you're supposed to have money invested, like any corporation, so that you can meet your financial obligations. Where does the United States really stand? We want an accurate analysis. Well, this report has come out within the last few weeks, and basically it says, you know, you hear about the national debt for this coming year is going to be about, a deficit's going to be about $241 billion. But actually, if you calculate what it should be over $4 trillion debt next year. The money we should be setting aside for all of our obligations, there's no money there to meet it. And, of course, if you look at the whole thing, there's over $50 trillion that actually money that they owe that they should have on hand, and they don't have it. And they talk about the debt that has nothing to do with all the obligations. There is no way to pay the people we promised to pay, who've worked their whole lives anticipating they're going to be taken care of when they grow old. And I got news for you. It's just not going to happen. Well, Melody, have you seen those reports on these liability statements and this phony type of auditing and these phony reports the government's been putting out on what our deficit's going to be?
Yes, I have, and I believe that one website is ShadowStats, where a gentleman whose name is John Williams has spent 20, 25 years following the government reports, and it is incredible that but we've known for a long time that the government doesn't release the proper numbers, and they do what they have to do to continue with the illusion that they've projected onto the American people. And they certainly have taken this illusion that they've created with all these false reports, and whether they don't understand them, whether they care to understand them, or they ignore them, they've certainly allowed the administrations to continue with the false reporting of these numbers.
And of course, the difficulty is that so many people are honestly thinking they're going to get a Social Security check. There is no way they're going to get Social Security checks 20 years from now. There's no way they're going to be able to pay the Medicare payouts that they promised to pay, because they would have to increase the income tax, or at least the FDIC taxes on those people who are working to over 60 or 70%. And nobody's going to be working if you're putting out that much for your Social Security tax, and then they're going to take income tax on top of that. You'd actually end up having to pay the government to be actually working. And if you don't give people incentive, they're not going to work. They realize that, and they don't know what the solution is. Quite frankly, nobody wants to take the hard measures that you have to take, and the only solution that I can see is simply to collapse the economy, collapse the currency, and just start in from scratch. And then, of course, all these people who are planning on these income and the retirement are just going to have to look after themselves. It's happened in other countries. I don't see any reason why it couldn't happen here. Do you?
No, it will happen here, and I often tell my clients they need to make a decision, take the leap. They feel safe in numbers. You know, they feel safe that if their neighbor is there, or you know, if someone with that seems like they know something says that it's okay to be there, they feel safe there. And you know, we simply put in terms of a herd mentality, but they don't want to hear that things are bad. They don't want to hear that they might lose all their money, and they will just let their money sit in CDs, collecting these paltry interest rates, losing it against inflation and taxes, and ultimately the dollar's value. So it's, they don't want to hear it, but people need to take control. They need to look at their investments. They need to see how they can get it protected, just like people when they buy homes. They buy house insurance. When they buy a new car, they buy car insurance. They have health insurance and life insurance. And gold is wealth insurance. And they should protect what they have. And as you said earlier, it's not so much about making a lot of money by purchasing gold, but it's to keep losing what you have.
And I think this is really a rather frightening thing, because the average individual is so unsophisticated because he's never studied history.
No.
And if he's probably gone to college, maybe he's gone to college. All he knows is, of course, all these theories. But he doesn't know the history of what's happened to monetary systems in the past when they've done exactly what we are doing today. He doesn't know what happened with the First Bank of the United States or the Second Bank, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. And Melody, why don't you, of course, get your telephone number out, your website, so people can find out how to get in touch with you. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How can people get in touch with you, Melody?
Well, they can first call by dialing 1-800-375-4188. And that number again is 800-375-4188. They can go to the website at discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. That is discountgold and with and spelled out, A-N-D, silvertrading.net. And if you have a question about gold, your coins, or your current portfolio, your precious metals portfolio, you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
Well, it's amazing, all of the various schemes that they have out there for get rich fast. One of them, of course, is the carry trade, where you borrow money in Japan at 0% or 1% interest, and then, of course, you invest in the United States at 4 or 5% interest, or an Icelandic bond. They were a great deal. You could get 10 or 10.5% interest buying Icelandic bonds about a year and a half ago. And so you borrow at 0% or 1%, you lend out at 10%, and you come out, of course, making out like a bandit. The problem is, of course, the people who have invested in the United States, they have to compare the relationship between the dollar and the yen. So if you borrow yen with a specific value, and then you invest in the United States where the currency has a specific value, and then the value of that currency falls, as it has here in the United States over the last couple of years, from about 1.2 down to about 0.82 or 0.83, somewhere there now. Well, you've lost almost a third of the value of the money. And when you pay the money back, you have to pay it back in yen, not in dollars. And so there are a lot of people then who begin to pull their money out of the United States and begin to pay off the debts that they have over there in Japan, because they have to put up collateral, and the last thing you want to do is end up losing your collateral. And then, of course, they've got the hedge funds, which are certainly getting themselves over-leveraged, and a couple of these have gone down, but so far it hasn't been anything too catastrophic. We have the derivative industry. When we started talking about this, and as Warren Buffett had said, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And he warned against derivatives, and then, of course, he's investing in them all the time himself. But they've gone from about 250 trillion dollars when we first started talking about them to over $360 trillion. There's not that amount of money in the whole world. So, you know, if these things ever start to come unraveled, why, heaven help us all, because it'll pull the whole world financial system down. And I really believe that there may be people who actually want that to happen. Because, of course, when that happens, why, you transfer from weak hands, people like you and me, to strong hands, like the people who control the central banks, who have manipulated this whole scheme and have set it up to fail for sure. Well, Melody, certainly when people call you, what do you tell them to do?
Well, we do things a little bit differently here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We look at people's whole financial assets. We encourage them to be diversified in precious metals. If they already have gold and silver, we ask what they have, what they're holding, and we try to diversify that. Perhaps we can, you know, rearrange some of the things that they're already holding and to enhance their portfolio. So we find out a little bit about the person, what their investment objectives are, what their budgets are, because budgets make a difference as far as the recommendations in the different areas and the different coins that they should purchase. So we learn about our customer. Then we make our recommendations based on all those facts and what coins are suitable for their portfolio. We do not do a one-coin-fits-all type recommendation. A lot of dealers will find niches to which, you know, all they sell is this type of silver and this type of gold, where we take a different approach. We look at suitability for their investment objectives and what they have available to invest, which gives them a more diversified portfolio. So, therefore, if one area of the coin market is doing better than another, they will benefit from that market increases in that coin.
And I think that's old rule of diversify, diversify, diversify.
Yeah.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I think you certainly should be, certainly have a significant part of your investments in things that have intrinsic value. But certainly even within that field, you want to be diversified. And we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Melody Cederstrom. My telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Melody Cedarstrom, and we're simply talking about what's going on at the financial markets. And I think this is so vitally important because I really fear that most people are not positioning themselves, because most people remember that America is the most powerful nation in the world. It has certainly given more people more prosperity in this country than has ever existed before. But what people have forgotten is America is today the greatest debtor nation in the world. The wealthiest nation in the world is actually Communist China. They have accumulated more money in reserves than any other nation in the world ever has. And you're beginning to see, of course, the manufacturing base shift from the United States to China. I believe it was planned that way. I believe this is exactly what the people who really run things want. They're invested over in China. They're doing very well, and they have nothing to worry about. If the Chinese should foolishly nationalize their holdings, you, the American taxpayer, will have to compensate them, and they'll have to raise your taxes so that they can pay off the corporations, because they never would have invested there without a guarantee that they would be looked after. After all, they have to look after their investors, their stockholders, welfare. But what we have done, of course, is to transfer our jobs from the United States, to transfer our plants from the United States. Ford Motor Company is going to China. General Motors is going to China. The major manufacturers of automotive parts are going to China. The textiles are going to China. The furniture manufacturing going to China. China imports four times as much wood as any other nation in the world. And, of course, they're making all of the wood products there. And these are the things that you're going to be buying. The wood products that are manufactured in China are being sent all throughout the world today. Well, Melody, certainly, is there any future or hope for America's industrial potential?
Well, I believe that there's a lot of discussions about, you know, putting tariffs back on the products and everything, and it's just like, I'm not so sure that would really bring back the manufacturing back to this country. Perhaps it would to some degree, but it certainly isn't going to be a quick enough response in order to help this country in the short term. So I believe the system will have to purge. I believe things will have to happen, and like you, I believe things will have to start from the bottom and start from the beginning. I also believe that they will have to bring the world to one level.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, Melody, you were simply saying that she thinks that they're going to have to purge the system. In other words, by purge the system, this has happened time and time again. Whenever you created artificial prosperity with fiat money, why, of course, the only way to clear the system is just to let the majority of the people go bankrupt. And at that time, of course, people then lose their homes. They lose their businesses, their small factory, and they're head over heels in debt. Everything is built upon debt. They lose their factory. And traditionally, this is what happened when the first bank of the United States went under. When the second bank of the United States went under, it happened, of course, in 1929. And it's going to happen, I fear, in the very near future. We should have had a major correction 20 years ago. They didn't let it happen. And as a result, of course, the consequences of this next collapse, I think, are going to be very frightening. Well, let's go to Will, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Will. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dr. Stan and Melody. I've got a question for Melody. In regards to coins, I've been getting a lot of older coins. It looks like people are breaking open their piggy banks because they're short on money. On the junk silver and whatnot, can you give us the dates, the breakdowns? What's the 40%? When was there higher content, and what kind of content is it in the quarters, the dimes, and the halves?
Well, and you have the 90% silver up and including 1964. From 65 to 69, you had the 40% silver, and just the Kennedy halves. They continue to put silver in the 50-cent pieces the Kennedy halves during that short time frame in order to honor Kennedy. After that, they took the silver out. So from 65 to 69, you had the 40%, and prior to that, you had the 90%.
Is there any silver content in quarters?
In the 90%, you do have the 90%. You have the quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces. In the 40%, it's just the Kennedy halves.
Okay, and then the 64 was the cutoff for the quarters.
64 was the cutoff date
for quarters, dimes, and half dollars.
Uh huh.
And it really wasn't in dimes and other things after 64.
It's just the Kennedy halves from 65 to 69.
All right, fine. And so anything else, Will?
That was the big question. I got an excellent answer, and I thank you for the broadcast.
Okay, fine.
Thank
Thanks
you, Will.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What they're doing today is to encourage the people to speculate in the stock market. And see, when you see that stock market going up, why, of course, people are just very, very, you know, you figure, well, the ship's leaving, I better get on board. And now they've lowered the margin requirement so that you can get into the market and you don't have to buy the stock. You put up 10% of the value of the stock and you can hold the stock, and of course it goes up. You can make out like a bandit, as we mentioned earlier. Why, of course, this was very, very advantageous, but if the market turns against you, you lose whatever you have invested in. Ordinarily, if you are on margin, why, of course, they can come after your home or anything else. So people, if I can plead with you on one thing, do not get into the market and try to buy things on margin today. This is the most foolish thing in the world. Do not get into commodities. Do not get into options unless you are a lot smarter than the experts. Don't do it, because even the experts get stung there. The old adage, you know, playing the market on margin, whether it be options, commodities, or the stock market on margin, is a good way to make a small fortune out of a large fortune. Well, go right ahead.
You're right about options. I played that once, and all I got was a Christmas card at the end of the year. So, you know, very few people win on options, it's just the biggest gamble. You don't play with it unless you have money. You've got to lose. And most people don't want to lose their money. And so, also on that, I just want to go back to Will's question. That's a great way to buy silver, the 90% silver and the 40% silver. You pay very little over spot price when you buy the 90% silver. You pay about 50 cents above spot. And if you buy a full bag, which is 715 ounces of silver, that includes your shipping in that 50 cents. So it's a great way to buy silver. And you have to be careful, because it depends on the grade of coins that you get. Lots of times you'll get coins that are slicks, and when you go to weigh your bag, it's only going to be weighing, you know, 50 pounds or 51 pounds, and a full bag should be weighing about 56 pounds. And so that's a little bit of a way that you can tell what type of product that you're getting. And you really don't need to buy uncirculated coins, because the Kennedy halves, very few of them were in circulation for any length of time. So most of the Kennedy halves, even when you buy them in a VG plus condition, they look like uncirculated coins. So there's a lot of people out there that sell uncirculated Kennedy halves. Most people can't tell the difference, so, and they're quite a bit more in price. So there's no point in buying uncirculated Kennedy halves. Just buy the VG Plus and you get the same thing.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jack calling from Michigan again. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Jack. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm quite well, thank you. And I appreciate your program very much. Past few weeks, heard an interview with someone by the name of Andrew Gauss, who authored a book, The Secret World of Money and How Uncle Sam Cooks the Books. And he went into a lot of historic facts on the Federal Reserve being a private corporation and all that, and et cetera. Well, he was advising people. He's a precious coin trader, I guess. And he was advising people that they should take out loan money on the equity of their house and invest it in the precious coin market. And I was wondering what Melody thought about that.
All right, Melody, how would you respond to that?
I wouldn't take a second on my house to buy gold and silver. Each person has to look at their own financial situation, but I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. Yes, I do believe you can have substantial increases in gold and silver, but it depends on, you know, what you're offsetting. I mean, the whole point is to get out of debt. You don't want your credit cards. You don't want to go into debt to buy an investment, even gold and silver. So if you have to loan money in order to buy gold and silver, I just can't see it. Again, it's an individual thing also, so most likely I would say that's not a good idea.
I think Melody's absolutely right. The one thing you do not want to do is take a chance on losing your home. And certainly you might make a great deal of money doing that, but it's a gamble. And you do not want to gamble with the security of your family. So I think it's poor advice. And because I think that Mr. Galt may mean very, very well, but I think that you have to get out of debt first. And then when you're out of debt, then you can take what you have and go ahead and invest it. And I think that Melody's suggestions are very good. I think you want to be diversified, but I think you want to be in things that are tied to gold and silver and precious metals in one way or the other at the present time.
And Dr. Stamp, what about withdrawing funds from a bank or credit union where I think they're paying only something like 3% interest, and that doesn't match inflation? So wouldn't it be wise and prudent to pull that out and invest it?
Well, what would you say to that, Melody?
I have a lot of clients. When you figure out what inflation is, what your taxes are, and what the rate of interest that they're paying, you're really losing. So this is cash that people just have sitting in a bank. And yes, they would be better off buying gold and silver with that, because gold is going to protect it against the inflation that they're losing it on. So yes, that would be a good idea, to withdraw funds if you have CDs or money markets or that type of thing. If you just have cash sitting there and it's not doing anything for you.
So I certainly agree with that. I would not have money in CDs. I would not have it in bank accounts. I would not have it in annuities. I would not have it in anything that was tied to cash at all. But certainly I think that is the money that I would invest in my precious metals. But certainly I would not be taking my home. Some people have asked about taking money out of an IRA, things of that sort. What would you say to them, Melody? Because if they take it out of the IRA, they're going to have to pay a 10% surcharge, and then they're going to have to pay income tax on it. If somebody had, and somebody asked me this the other day, $100,000 in an IRA, what should they do with it?
Well, I was told by someone that you should never use the surcharges or taxes when you want to make an investment. You shouldn't allow that to make your decision, because sometimes paying that penalty and surcharge, you will benefit by taking those funds and investing it someplace else. So you shouldn't let penalties and surcharges hold you back. However, we're right back to the suitability. Is this suitable for this one individual who wants to withdraw funds from an IRA? He could transfer those IRA funds into an IRA precious metals account if he doesn't want to bite the bullet. It's always best to take possession of your gold and silver first. But if you can't do that, then you can also, you know, do the IRA precious metals. But never allow the interest rates or the surcharges or the taxes interfere with your decision for the investment that you're going to make.
And I think that's probably a fairly good, especially at times like this, Jack. We're really in a time unlike any that we've seen, going back as far as I can remember. And I think this is the time, if you're going to get into a position where you're going to be able to protect what you have, this is the time to take the proper action. We are at the end of a business cycle, in my opinion. And if I'm right, why, of course, there are going to be disastrous consequences coming in the very near future. And I think all we need is some major event. In fact, we only have to look and see this, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, to understand that the government is planning something very big. Because that legislation gives the president the ability to declare martial law in America in three circumstances. One, a major epidemic. Two, a civil disturbance. And three, a flood or a natural disaster. Now, why would they pass that legislation at this time and repeal the Posse Comitatus Act and take away the right of the state governors to control the National Guard? Obviously, the federal government is considering some major event. Maybe they feel it's going to happen. Maybe they're going to create it. But if it does, believe me, it will collapse the entire economy. And when that happens, you certainly don't want to be there sitting with a lot of money sitting in the bank and drawing 3% interest.
Indeed, Dr. Stanton, it looks like Iran is the next target. And with all the illegal aliens coming across the border, martial law could be just around the corner.
Sure could be.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stanton.
God bless. Thanks very much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Somebody sent me a cute little story today. I thought I'd share it with the audience. They were talking about this meeting recently. It was maybe 10, 15 years ago when a number of Nobel laureates were gathered together to give an award to somebody who had accomplished something in the field of science. And the speaker got up and said, you know, certainly there has never been so much intelligence centered in one room as we have here tonight, except when, of course, Thomas Jefferson dined alone. And, of course, that was, of course, a sign that Thomas Jefferson was a man of great knowledge. And somebody commented that, you know, they read the report of the Iran study group, the so-called James Baker report, and they analyzed it. They thought that there had never been as much intelligence in one committee report since Paris Hilton dined alone. And suggesting that maybe it was not the greatest report of all time. Anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And poor old Paris Hilton, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have any smarts to go along with it, why, you hate to be the subject of ridicule. Well, Melody, we've just got a few more minutes. What would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I'd like to leave with the listeners that it is time that they need to look at their finances. We're a society, we're people who've been conditioned to trust other people with our money, and people need to feel confident that they can do a better job than those that they've been told should handle their funds. And they need to look at what they have, and they really do need to protect what they have. And I'd be the first one that if there was another investment out there, I would probably tell them. But most people just want to keep what they have. And if you want to keep what you have, then you need to make sure that you have gold and silver in your portfolio. I always recommend a minimum of 30%. And those are usually the beginners that are just testing the water. The majority of my clients are 100% vested in gold and silver. But 30% is a good place to start. 30-50%, and of that, 80% should be in gold and 20% should be in silver. And again, these are just rule of thumbs, and again, based on your investment objectives and what you already have, is something that you can compare and make some decisions on. But it's time. We don't know what's going to happen. It could be next year, it could be the end of next year, it could be the middle of next year, it could be 2008. But we do know the fundamentals for gold are strong. They haven't changed. They're not being addressed. and this economy continues to decline, our dollar continues to decline, and we are a global economy anymore, so what happens here happens worldwide. You can't listen to these promises of double-digit returns on these currency investments and on these other paper investments. They are just not as safe as gold coins. So if you want to be safe, I would be more than happy to help you. And all you have to do is call 800-375-4188.
Now, what's that number one more time?
1-800-375-4188.
And, of course, the website.
The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And make sure you spell out the word and. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think we only have to see what the other countries of the world are doing. And we know that China is accumulating gold. We know that certainly that Russia is accumulating gold. We know that that Iran and that the Arab countries and Brazil are accumulating gold, and Argentina's as well. Why? Because they want something behind their currency when this whole house of cards comes down. And believe me, the central banks are not selling off their gold. Why, if gold is of no consequence, why don't they just sell it all off? Because they know it is the only actual foundation of currency. In fact, Alan Greenspan one time was asked why the United States kept gold, and he said that exact thing. It is the only real currency out there. So the people who run our central banks understand these things, but the average individual doesn't. They honestly think that the paper dollars that they can buy and sell with have intrinsic value, that they do not. And, of course, certainly they are simply pieces of paper that we use as a medium of exchange. But traditionally, down through the ages, why, this medium of exchange had to have some intrinsic value so that the people who were creating it could not, of course, create money out of nothing. Well, the secret of banking that most people don't know is they create money out of nothing and that they have the audacity to charge you interest on it. Or they create it and give it to governments, and then they charge the government's interest on it. And, of course, the rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. You got about a minute and a quarter to wrap up the thoughts tonight here before we let you go, Melody.
One has to remember that gold has no liabilities. Gold, there always has to be a measure of wealth, and gold has always been that measure of wealth. And people need to be careful there. There's so much misrepresentation out there in the gold market, from the coins that you hear sold on television, from the internet. I get emails every day about people who bought things on the internet from some of these places, and if you buy from the internet, you have to make sure you know who you're dealing with. Sometimes the lowest price is not the best thing that you could be purchasing. The lowest price is not always the best price, or the best coin, or the best item that you're getting. So you do have to be careful. You just hear all kinds of horror stories. So make sure you know what you're buying. Do some investigation. And again, it comes back to thinking and knowing what your investment objective is. What is important for you when you purchase that gold and silver? What makes sense?
Well, we're just about out of time, but also you have to know the people you're dealing with, because believe me, there are a lot of sharks in the water.
There's a lot.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Well, I guess this evening has been Melody Cedarstrom, and we've just been pointing out what's really going on in the economic sphere today. If you have not heard my talk on the financial tsunami, we have it on DVD, we have it on VHS, and we have it, of course, in the syllabus that goes with it, that will actually give you the government reports from the first Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, and so you can get an idea of what they're doing. They're still creating massive liquidity. they're still trying to keep this ship afloat by increasing the amount of money, the M3, which they suddenly say, oh, shucks, we've been able to come up with this for, you know, for 50 years, the M3, but we just can't figure out to do it. It's just so difficult for us to do it today. Oh, shucks, we'd like to tell you the M3, but we don't want to waste a lot of money collecting all that information. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. They don't want to see M3 because they don't want you to know what they're doing. And they're massively expanding the credit that's out there, the banking credit. They're not necessarily printing money. They're just creating it. It's all a banking entry. But one of these days, the day of reckoning is going to come, and of course, according to Bob Chapman, they're somewhere between 10 and 12% still continuing to increase in the M3. And it's not simply the United States. They're doing this all throughout the world because all of the world's currencies are fiat currencies. But eventually, and the only way you can ever get to a point where you can really begin to consolidate is simply to let the whole thing collapse and start in all over again. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And who will actually survive? You know, it's like musical chairs. When the music's playing, everybody's doing great. When the music stops, why, most people are not going to end up with a chair. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. The talk again is Financial Tsunami. The talk, available on VHS or DVD, and a syllabus that goes with it. And then, of course, the little pamphlet on the history of money. You need to know what happened in ancient Greece. You need to know what happened in ancient Rome. You need to know what happened in Florence and in Venice and how those wonderful cities came to be built. It was all built with a fiat money system. And then the history of central banking. And then the spiritual forces behind this whole movement. The Knights Templar were the first international bankers back in the 1200s. They were also involved in Luciferianism, which most people do not understand, nor do they understand the powerful spiritual forces that energize the people who control the wealth of the world today. If you'd like to know more of that, why, Chris, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the DVDs or videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Why? Because here's an example of how these rock stars, some of the most prominent and best known and wealthy and powerful of the rock stars, had made an agreement with the devil. Yes, that's how they got to be where they were. They had wonderfully exciting and lives, but they died very young. You need to understand this is not imaginary. It's really very real. We're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, but also on a financial battlefield. And, of course, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get the book we offer called The Hope of the Wicked by Ted Flynn, which is really a more detailed book than my book. My book is simple to read. We'll give you what information you know. Ted does a great job in his book as well. And then we have so many other books and videos, and you need to get our 4 tapes out on the supernatural. You need to get the DVD entitled The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings to understand what was going on here in the 1600s and the occult and secret organizations that existed at that time. If you really want to get into the background, you need to get my little pamphlets, or three little pamphlets put together, the combination of about 15 different newsletters on the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy that rules the world today. Understand the enemy, and of course prepare to deal with them. And if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, why, this is a very good time to begin seriously considering where you're going to spend eternity. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.